everybody, what's going on? Worst Friends Podcast. My name is Tim. I'm going to be your host this evening, or this afternoon. I'm going to be joined by your other host, Colin. How you doing, Colin?
That's me. I'm well. Doing well.
You're doing well? That is, that's always good to hear. It's always like a gamble when I ask you how you're doing. I never know.
You might just break down. Especially on Sundays, too.
Might just Sundays break down and be like, oh, let me tell you about my day.
No, it's been a good weekend. We're recording on a Sunday, and yesterday went down a Red Wings game with our friend Scott, a.k.a. the Tapeworm. Mm-hmm. And it was nice, 2 o'clock game, so it's Detroit's always a little bit friendlier during the day. So, yeah. You know, got down there, nice, you know, cheap tickets. It's a good game. Wings won 2-1. You know, had a couple $9 beverages. You know, still got out of there. Decent time. Game got over like 5 or so. Came back home. Nice evening. Tried to.
You should have stuck around and just caught that Pistons game. Or was that on the road?
I don't know, but our friend Scott was actively trying to recruit me to visit the casino. Even though his New Year's resolution has been not to gamble. But I guess technically he had money on the game that we went there to watch. So I don't know how the no gambling rule is working.
Maybe but no, casino we almost.
Right. No, we almost went to a Triple D restaurant. There was one down in Detroit that I haven't been to that guy's been to.
What was the problem? Could he not really find anything there he would want to eat?
Well, it was kind of like the game got over at 5, but of course, walking to the car, you're in the parking lot, getting out of the parking garage is a 45-minute ordeal in itself. And we had our dogs locked up back home, and we could have gone. It was on the way, but we probably would have spent at least an hour there. We'd be getting home a little bit later, so we just decided. I had a nice big old pot of chili in the crock pot at home. You know, we just decided that'd be. You would think that would have been good enough to feed all of us
on a cold day. A nice big pot
nice
of chili.
Cold wintry day. Nice, crocking it too. You know, it's one thing to whip it up. An hour or two. Which usually ends up tasting good, but I had just a whole garden of deliciousness brewing in this thing for about 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And really, you'd be crazy. You'd have to be, some kind of moron to not like, nice chopped up onion, celery, corn, kidney beans, meat seasoned up, some maters. But apparently our friend Scotty didn't like any of that, so he didn't have any.
Yeah.
He took one look at it and, no, that's not for me.
Oh, so man.
We fed him something else. But it was good. So what's up?
Oh, just, while you were at the having your evening with your friend Scott last night, I was just got an idea about a movie, if I can go into that. Because honestly, I don't know when I wanted to fit this in because it was just an idea I came up with on the fly.
Okay.
And for some reason, I just ran with it.
Okay.
But that's my movie starring Jason Bateman and John Hamm, probably the two greatest actors right now.
Now, who would get top billing, though? Don't you think Hamm would get the top billing?
Well, I'm sorry, dude. This is going to be a full-on comedy. Keep in mind, and Hamm is gonna get his time to shine as like the full-on, the asshole, ridiculous, over the top. His face is gonna play a big role in this, his facial expressions. And Jason Bateman is his brother. He's the straight man, which always a good role for him.
Yep.
And their father is a criminal, as I explained to you. And these are kind of small-time guys. So Jason Bateman, just think of, Michael Bluth, because his father was a criminal, and he was kind of a straight man. I didn't really think of that.
You're not really asking him to you're not really asking him to do much that he's not comfortable doing.
He has that subtle comedy about him. And John Hamm is a good-looking, dashing idiot. His good looks His good looks are both a gift and a curse, constantly getting him in and out of tight spots. And
Right.
as I said, Bateman is the logical straight man, always trying with minimal results to keep his brother in line. And
Okay.
you know, Bateman's really not some brainiac either. And they're basically small-time criminals. They rob people. They pull off small little heists for their father, who is
Okay.
an aging crime boss. Are you following me so far?
Who do you have someone in mind to play the father? I feel like that would
Okay,
be
like a dream, like a dream one would be like Christopher Walken, obviously.
Okay.
But depending on which studio wants this when we get the script done, and depending on who's
Okay.
producing it, if they want to go like full on ridiculous, I would love to see somebody like oh, I just forgot his name. Jerry Stiller.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know, because he's gonna be like this, he's gonna be a real ball buster type guy, and he needs to be able to just you know, really lay into Bateman, because as I explained to you briefly, his you know, a lot of his, he's getting old. A lot of guys that he had been working with and been running stuff for him, they're old too. They're getting out of the game. And I'm thinking we could have a nice little story about how, while their father is this big crime boss, he's struggling financially. Maybe it's taxes. Maybe it's, you know, the lavish lifestyle. Maybe he's divorced their mother. I was thinking this, then married a young woman, then divorced her, married a young woman, then divorced her. So he's
What if we did? What if we did something? Because what I was trying to think when you were throwing this around was there needs to be, we got to have some kind of hottie in it. You know, there needs to be like a good-looking woman
I'm glad you
in
mentioned
some
that.
role.
I'm glad
Well,
you mentioned that.
let me tell you just what came to mind. First, I was thinking a sister, but no, we want to have, you know, either Ham or Bateman kind of either doing some pursuing or being pursued. What if the old man has you right, like his third young trophy wife, but she secretly is pining after one or maybe both of the brothers, and it's always just like this awkward thing
Okay, I'm
when
glad you brought that up, because that's actually a really good idea. And one of my problems last night is I could not come up with a love interest for John Hamm. I
Well,
couldn't think of one.
there you
I
go.
had another one though. Like I told you, these guys are kind of small-time crooks. You know, they pull off the minor stuff. Well, you always have like you know, the guys have their crew kind of that works with them, and like one of the ways that these guys are able to be successful, I was thinking, is that, and you could show like a montage of different jobs they do, is that they always have like these ridiculous costumes and disguises and stuff like that. That way, you know, you could have Ham going in to rip off a motel like dressed as a cowboy or something, you know, just really, really playing it up. And I was just thinking, I was like, that they would have like a girl that helps him do that stuff, and she's kind of a quirky, odd girl. And that was Bateman's love interest. And
Okay.
but you know, Bateman's kind of got that what did I call it? That charming little apprehension, bashfulness, you know, that he always kind of pulls off. He's, you know, gets tongue-tied around her. He can't really say nothing. And you know, she's not the kind of girl who's gonna go for a guy like Ham, you know, because he's kind of like the playboy, you know, getting all the girls. So
Okay, I mean, I think we
that's
have a
the,
good foundation here.
let's see.
I
Yeah, I
really
got
don't know
a,
how far you were going to take this, so
but yeah, basically, like I
yeah.
said, he a lot of his guys that he always depended on are getting out of the game, and he's got some special trouble, and these two gotta step up, and then they gotta get the big dirty, and you know, I'm assuming we're gonna have an end with them pulling it off.
I mean, I definitely think it sounds like we kind of got the meat and taters of the idea going here.
Right. Is there anything that instantly I'm glad that you did come up with that love interest though. That was one of the things last night, is I
Feel
couldn't
like it could
think.
be a just think of some of like the awkward scenes, you know, where maybe the boys are in dad's office and the hot, you know, stepmom is there. And the old man, kind of turns his back, is looking out the window, contemplating on what to do with his boys. And, the wife walks behind John Hamm and runs her hand like along his neck.
Or, Hamm's like staring at her ass, and because then you can get Bateman kind of like doing that look where he's trying to like, hey, get his attention, and they're kind of.
Yeah, stop. Stop it. Yeah,
Yeah.
she's bent over and Ham's just mouth wide open, and Bateman's got to kind of elbow him a little bit, like
And
stop it,
think of
stop
like
it.
some of the goofy faces that he makes in Mad Men, but they're just like these brief little moments. Like he can go through this whole movie, like just really fucking freaking playing it up, man.
And what people, what we need to find, you sent it to me, is the greatest event of all time, or the greatest moment in TV history, which basically was when John Hamm and, oh, who's the little guy, Adam Scott, remade the Simon and Simon intro, the TV show Simon and Simon.
Yeah.
You remember, you sent that to
Oh,
me.
yeah.
We
Like
need
the documentary of him doing it.
yeah, the documentary. And near the end, it has John Hamm like in a has like a big blanket over him, and he's in a car. He's like, I'm just so cold. I'm just so cold. And then the screen froze, and it said John Hamm would later die that evening. That's great. That really shows. You're right. It almost seems like he's apprehensive to do a role like you're suggesting. We both know that he could easily pull it off,
Well, he's, he
but.
did movies like he was in Bridesmaids, as that role as just blatantly using Kristen Wiig, and
He's just an
like he's
asshole.
always so like, yeah, she like pours her heart out to him. He's just like, oh, really? And like we'll kiss her, and like it's getting pretty
Yeah.
late. You better get going. Then just roll over and it's done.
So he can do it. So I think you got something here. Do you think the early reviews in on Identity Thief might hurt Bateman's marketability?
No, because most of what it is blaming Melissa McCarthy.
It's coming down on her.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed. It's like, it's sad to see a charming, talented actor like Jason Bateman pull. I was like, jeez, dude. I'm like, take it easy
That was
there.
kind of, you were a bit discouraged by that, didn't you, when the reviews started coming out?
When I went on Rotten Tomatoes and saw that like everyone's rating it really bad, that was kind of like, yeah. No, I probably wouldn't have seen it in theaters anyways, for real, but if the
Well, he
reviews were
might
really
need to.
good, if the re reviews were really good, I probably would have, though. You're right.
Yeah, that's the thing, is if the reviews would have came out and said, this is the next blah blah, insert, movie here, that were that really kind of put it over the top, that this was, because again, I think it ended up being what I expected it to be. We talked about this on the last podcast. It kind of is what it is. To quote Denny Green, it
Right.
was who I thought it was. So, well, this is good. Well, he might need a project like this, just a slam dunk to kind of right the ship a little
All
bit
right,
if he
well,
gets a
anyways,
stink on him.
I now that we're on this topic, I need to that leads me into a Tyrion for us. Because if we're talking Jason Bateman, we probably should have mentioned on the last podcast Arrested Development. Because we talked about stuff that we're looking forward to. And I guess that isn't, I think, until May. But I
Yeah.
mean, we probably should have mentioned it still.
Definitely. Yep.
So we need to
Oh, so
apologize to
we get one,
Jason.
so we
Yeah, you
get a
and
leg
I.
chopped off by a little person?
Yeah, I
Okay.
mean, we had I had to go that far.
Okay. Well, I don't I think I'm mostly positive today, and you really went for a roll there with that movie idea. So I'm just gonna mention really quickly a couple just a couple quick slap and tickles that I had. Vanden Bosch, he's gone, not in lines anymore. I feel like, it was good while it lasted. I liked him. You remember we I have a comic book superhero character called McMasters, who is an Irish superhero. And maybe like a couple years ago, when we first got Vanden Bosch, you and I were discussing that maybe McMasters, there's a story arc where he fights some crime in the Detroit area, and
Right.
he's actually aided by Kyle Vanden Bosch.
Yeah, it's like a
So,
biker with red eyes.
yeah, Red eyes, bald. So he's gone. Want to give a quick little slap and tickle to KT,
Oh,
our
yeah.
worst friend KT, who single-handedly raised the exposure with his likes of almost every single one of
Oh
our.
no, I had that to all our Facebook followers. Like, just.
Everyone, we really did a good job during the Super Bowl. I was kind of, I was like, oh, do I want to be posting stuff all throughout, or do I just want to like be just relaxing, having some beers, watching the game? And once I kind of we started getting on a roll, we really went with it.
Well,
And I
was
think.
tweeting like under my regular account a lot of shit, and I would see like your stuff come up on Twitter, the Facebook links they show up on Twitter too. So I would just like I'm like I'll just retweet them all or whatever. And then I'm just like, well, if I'm gonna tweet stuff, I might as well just get on the worst friends one and just keep it going. And
Start doing it there, yeah. But I think we had a lot of people. Like I said, KT was the man.
oh
He
yeah.
was showing us love on everything. But we had some other people. I felt like it went pretty good. Granted, it was maybe the same handful of goofballs,
Oh yeah.
but I think it was fun because now last year I don't know what I did for the Super Bowl. I think I was just down in my basement watching it. But this year, I really
How
felt.
depressing did that sound? I can't really remember. I think I was just down in my basement.
I think that was it. This year it felt like I was more a part of what was going on because I was on Facebook, I was on Twitter, I was seeing other people tweet stuff. There was a 30-minute blackout, so everyone's on Twitter,
Oh yeah.
posting crap about that or updating stuff. So I really felt like I was more a part of the whole event, and it was pretty fun. What another slap and tickle I was gonna have was Michelle Beadle. She used to be on Sports Nation with Cowherd. Now she's at like NBC or whatever. Like a week or two ago, I just started following her on Twitter just because can't hurt following a good looking young successful woman. But anyway, one of my favorite tweets was during the blackout. She tweets, "Who just grabbed my ass?" Question mark, question mark, question mark. I
Nice.
just thought that was, you don't really expect that from a female, especially one where she has a ton of followers. It was
Right.
not like it was bad or anything, but I got a kick out of that. Hey, who just grabbed my ass? Hashtag blackout, hashtag Super Bowl
There
2013.
was a few like yeah, that's why I said I was on my personal one a lot for like probably most of the first half at least, or if I wanted to tweet something about like the halftime show or whatever. And that guy who writes for Deadspin, that Drew Magry guy, he tweeted at the halftime show, Beyonce did that first song that has Jay-Z in it. After that, he tweeted like, "That was not Jay-Z rapping at the Super Bowl," like with "not" in all caps and stuff. But my
Right.
favorite one
Really
during the
bothered that.
blackout was that some person, I don't even know if they were, I can't remember who it was, but they tweeted, "Now it's the rich folks who are trapped in the Superdome." Or this time it's the rich people that are trapped.
Did what did you well hold, let me mention one more person, because then I do want to just kind of get your general thoughts on the Super Bowl. Well, I guess this guy's not related, it has nothing to do at all with the Super Bowl, but I just one other slap and tickle to Butt Nugget,
All right.
which is probably one of my favorite nicknames. And I haven't really we haven't really heard from Butt Nugget in a while.
Nope.
Think we know his real name. We're not gonna say it, but the one thing I remember about Butt Nugget was he did not once but twice he got hit by a car. Do you remember that?
I remember once.
I remember the one time, and then I remember like kind of being like up my hometown, like uptown, and someone saying, "Oh, did you hear that Butt Nugget got hit by a car?" I'm like, "Yeah, that happened like a couple weeks ago." No, he got hit by another one. I just always felt bad for Butt Nugget because there weren't that many vehicles driving around town
No,
where
not
I'm
at
from,
all.
and for Butt Nugget to get hit by two of them, I always thought that was unfortunate. But so coming back to the Super Bowl, what was your Just any thoughts, takeaways? Do you enjoy the game? Was it more about the extracurricular, just tweeting and
It
having a
was a pretty good, it
laugh?
was a good game too. And I
I
had a,
thought
there's a
so.
lot of people over here, so it was fun.
Okay.
We ate so much. Oh my God, it was crazy.
See, we wanted to do a podcast beforehand because I like getting, my picks. I like, trying and get it on record, get it on air, who I picked. Because of course, no one will believe me now that I said that I would have picked the Ravens. But I would have. Did you have kind of a sense of who you thought was going to win going into it?
I thought the Niners were gonna win going into it, but man, it was just a good game. I just thought the Niners had too much for them to deal with.
No, I did too. But yeah, it was a good, you're right, it was a good game. Now football's over. Now I don't know what the hell we're gonna do. Just
I know,
watch
dude.
golf.
I was just thinking about that. I'm just sitting around on Sunday. I'm just like, oh man, there's nothing going on.
Yeah, I got some NBA games
Yeah.
right
Well,
now, so that's about it. I was gonna mention the Michael Keaton as Batman is, I think, still my favorite Batman. And
oh
then I was
yeah.
gonna mention that our friend John Z is the Skip Bayless of the Worst Friends podcast.
I see, I did have earlier in my notes that John Z was losing his friends of the worst friend status for his unkind words about Jason Bateman. But I just took that out of there because after I posted all those quotes and stuff from that article, he
He did
conceded.
come around a little
He
bit, didn't he?
conceded.
Well, that's what Skip will always do too. Stephen A. really presents him with the facts. Skip's, man enough to admit when he's wrong. So,
Plus, John Z was involved in the Super Bowl and Ugly Face Friday and all that stuff too. So. Hey, is that your first time witnessing the Pettigrew? Okay, that no, you gotta start watching Harry Potter so you can find out who Peter Pettigrew is.
Okay, I thought, I'm like, why is our friend Juice doing the face of our Lions tight end
Right.
Brandon Pettigrew? I'm like, when did Brandon Pettigrew ever do that? Like, did he take his helmet off and make that face?
Right.
I had no idea what it was.
All right, but let me just rip through these slap and tickles really quick. Got Daniel Stern from when he was on Workaholics, the third episode. Basically, there's a scene, I'm just gonna go ahead and say it, where he whips out his penis and starts challenging the boys on the show to do the same to prove they're men. And it's just like, it just gets really over the top. He's like, "You see that? Not even that big, is it? But at least it's out there, isn't it?" And he's just going off. I'm like, and then he's like, "Come on, boys, show me your man. Whip him out." Just like going crazy, man.
Well, they chose that scene to put it in the promos and the commercials. So even in the commercials, because I didn't watch the episode, but I saw the commercials where, yeah, they're just blurring out his junk, and he's like, "Whip it out!" Like,
Right.
oh God! See, they're really going for the highbrow laughs in this episode. But you're right; it is good to see Daniel Stern. I can't tell you the last time I saw him in anything.
Right, I know, dude. Well, I couldn't figure out who it was at first. I'm like, man, who is this guy? And then finally, I'm just starting to think, I'm like, it's got to be Daniel Stern, man. It looks just like him. And I just put in Twitter Daniel Stern, and I saw like all these tweets about it. So that was good. I had another slap and tickle, but it could turn into a really long story, and I don't want to go into details. So I'm gonna get into this. Well, do you have anything else? Because this Steve Young stare can kind of transition into the meat and taters of the podcast.
Okay. No, I mean, I think we're going to talk about what kind of maybe bailing on shows.
Yeah.
Can we just mention then really quick one show that we're in agreement we're definitely not bailing on, and that's The Americans,
Oh yeah, I
new
forgot
FX
about
show.
Merkins.
Americans.
Man, that
This is
show.
America.
2 episodes in, and I'm man, that show was the bomb.
I'm pretty It's good. I'm getting the feeling that I got when watching Homeland. We can talk about all these other shows that we watch, Mad Men, The Wire, but we started watching those after everyone told us that they were good shows, So it is kind of, and we've faltered here or there. I guess it does transition well into what we're going to talk about, but you take a chance on a show here or there. Like Boardwalk Empire for me, we've talked about, oh, do you keep on watching it? At what point do you bail on a show if unless you know it's going to be unless you get that feeling right off the bat, this is going to be a good show. I remember getting that with Homeland. Like the first episode, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I need to watch
Yeah.
every single
No, really
one of
quick,
these.
what was the issue with Boardwalk Empire? Was it that the first season was like considered to be really good and the second one was kind of not that good, and then didn't the third season kind of at the like after halfway through start being regarded now as like a great show? Isn't that kind of how that went? It's been kind of
All
up
of
and down.
the, yeah, all of the, well, the first episode, like the pilot episode, which was like an hour and a half, and Scorsese directed it. It was pretty unanimous that was a great episode. And then, yeah, kind of the criticisms from there on was basically that it's beautiful. It looks beautiful. It's a immaculate period piece. The setting, the clothing. But the characters were never really developed in a way that the critics liked, I guess. I could see that there were so. It just you're right. The first season it just introduced so many people, and then the second season it introduced all these other people and all these different storylines, and nothing ever really went where you expected it to go. And that's when I think a lot of people bailed on the second season, but then the people who waited out the second season till the very end to win, Stringer Alert, Jimmy Domity basically just, is killed, gets shot, right in the head. That's when I think a lot of people like myself dug in. It's like, okay, I've gone too far with this show. I need to see, they just killed one of the main characters. Where is this going to go from here? And then, yeah, the third season, now critics are saying, okay, you're finally getting a payoff from all these different storylines and where they all start to intersect. So, but with the Americans, we don't really know where all of this is going to lead, but just the quality of the first couple episodes are enough to say, okay, we're at least, we're in for this season. It would need to take a real, it'd have to take an act of,
Dude,
Soviet aggression.
I'm loving the action sequences on the show, dude. I didn't like it's like when you watch these dramas, you get obviously with Game of Thrones, you get some action sequences, these epic, amazing ones. But on this, like the one-on-one fights he's get that Phillip's getting into and stuff, and the hand-to-hand stuff,
Oh, yeah.
it's awesome. I mean, I don't know if it's as good as a fight you just witnessed between Lane Price and Pete Campbell.
No.
But I didn't know that this guy was gonna be this straight up, they were gonna be these like martial artists, badasses. And then when I found that
Jason,
out, I'm
yeah,
just like, man.
does the close quarter Jason Bourne stuff. Because you get some credit. I won't give you much, but you get some credit for at least kind of bringing it up the day or two before the pilot episode aired. I'd seen previews for it, and I just remember thinking in the previews they always showed like right at the end, Felicity like angry and kicking that door shut. You remember that? And I was just like, ooh, Felicity is a badass. Ooh, she kicked the door. And just thinking like, ugh, this could maybe be bad. Then again, that's just off of watching one stupid promo for it. But so then you started saying, hey, you're gonna watch this American show on FX? Because you watch more FX, because you watch Justified and some stuff on there. I'm really
Archer,
not on FX
Always
that
Sunny,
much.
the league.
Yeah. The League. But and then I jokingly said, nope. I'm like, no one on Grantland's told me to watch it yet, so I don't know if I'm gonna watch it. And then maybe 3 hours later, Andy Greenwald or someone put up an article on Grantland, best news show since Homeland.
Yeah,
Like, well,
it was Andy. I told you too that I tweeted to Andy Greenwald, like, what did he think of it? Should I give it a try? And he said, like, I loved it or something. And I even told you that. You're like, no, nope.
So once I read that, that at least convinced me, all right, I'm at least going to watch the pilot. And to be honest, I feel like I know watching one episode of a show if it's kind of worth going into. Or in the case of The Following, not watching one episode and just never deciding not to watch it at all. So, but you have something, so you've been watching a show recently, right?
Well, I just every once in a while I like turn to BBC, just you always hear about this stuff, and I'm like, this Ripper Street show, it looks kind of cool. I would see promos for it and stuff. So I recorded the first one, and before I get too far into it, let me just go into this. While watching it, I saw a commercial for a show called Wild Things with Dominic Monaghan. In fact, I gave him a slap and tickle last podcast for it. And I flipped to BBC and saw it was on. Or no, I watched a episode of Ripper Street, and it was behind, so when it got done, it went to Wild Things and it came on. And it was just, it was so stupid, dude. Here's what really did it for me, though. He was on a tree with a huge python on him. And he was like on an angle tree, and the python was like crawling over him. And I'm like, oh, okay. Is this like some sort of British Wild Boys? And then it wasn't. It was more like a Crocodile Hunter. But the snake was like slithering like over his whole body. And he's saying this stuff. He's like, I have to get this enormous girth off of me. And I'm like, what? And then he's like, this is the biggest snake that I've ever had the pleasure of holding. And he's just like sounding like, I don't know if he's trying to make like homoerotic jokes, but they were all coming off that way. And then it like gets away from him, and he's like, ah, he's like, ooh, I'm gonna kiss it. And I'm just like, what the hell, dude? And then it was just like it went to commercial, and he was in a city and trying to be like Anthony Bourdain, but no. So
When you first told me about it, I thought it sounded awful, but that's good. Well, so what's happening with Ripper Street then?
I don't know, dude. I watched the first couple episodes of it, and then I tried watching one last night, and I wasn't really paying attention. And another one was on after, and I still wasn't really paying attention that much. I was just like, I don't know, it just didn't interest me after I watched it. Like the it seemed like an interesting premise to me. This is that gritty, late 1800s London underbelly. These are the cops in the, like this district where all this stuff's going down, where Jack the Ripper's been killing people. And it looks awesome. You see like you were mentioning Boardwalk Empire, visually is a period piece, looked amazing. That this hit looked really cool too, like the cameras and everything. I liked it, but I don't know, man. This cop, the like I said, he's a very, very poor man's Clive Owen. He's just terrible. Like in the first one, this lady gets killed, and his the big like police commissioner thinks it was a Jack the Ripper murdered this lady. And this guy, our main character, he's kind of like, no, we can't just say that. We can't just do that. We can't just say that because you want to go after him and find him. And it turns out that it wasn't Jack the Ripper. It was this guy who was like strangling whores and having like a guy take photographs and videotape it with like a primitive camera. And like they find out where this guy with the camera is, and they go into his little lab, his dark room, and they're looking at all his film, like, oh, he's been the one doing this. And like as they're just in there, this guy comes home. They see him in like the doorway, and he hurries up and throws a thing in there to start it on fire, and somehow locks him in there. I'm like, really, dude? There's two cops, one of who is Bronn from Game of Thrones, one the main character, and then there's this American physician that's there. I don't know why he's there. But he's pretty much been deputized and has to investigate all these dead bodies and stuff in this district. And it's like, and this guy's outsmarting you. And then Then it like they finally catch the guy who does the strangling, and they see this guy recording it. And after they stop the guy strangling the whore, the cop turns around, looks at the guy with the camera, and goes, "No matter what transpires here, that is extraordinary." I'm just like, really, dude? This guy has been taping a psychopath murderer who strangles whores, and this is how you what you say to him after this is done, that you compliment him on his camera that he made. I'm just like, get out of here, dude. Yeah, the
I
second
mean,
episode
I can't.
too, really quick, the second
Right,
episode
so
too, they got outsmarted by like a group of street orphans and their leader, who's like this adult who has a child army. I was like, okay, dude.
oh. Wasn't that like a part of Family Guy where Peter was in charge of all them little pickpocket boys?
Yeah, that's kind of what this guy is.
Yeah. All right, so really all you're doing right now is you're describing in detail awful scenes from a show that you're not going to watch anymore.
Yep.
Yeah. So you're done with it?
Oh yeah, dude. But I was
How many
just thinking,
episodes did
like,
you watch?
I ended up probably watching altogether three total, but it was like two complete ones, like 50 minutes of one, and then like a half hour of another.
Okay.
And it was
See,
just
I had a
like,
similar.
okay.
Yeah, I had a similar dabbling with that comedy on NBC 1600 Penn. Only, I mean, I'd say though I watched a good amount. I probably watched maybe 10, 15 minutes of it, and then was done. And I don't know if it was when that's kind of atrocious looking Josh Gad, the boy,
Yeah.
the son of the president. It might have been when he was sweating profusely because he had to make some public service announcement, and he's not an attractive fellow to begin with. But then when they just had him all sweaty, and so then he takes his jacket off and like his pits are all sweated out. And then, of course, what does he do? He tosses his jacket over a heat lamp next to him. That catches on fire, and he has to throw the flaming lamp and his jacket out the window. Of course, right when the president was meeting with the prime minister, blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, and I changed it, and we didn't go back. So
Yeah,
that was
well,
it. I think you kind of know. You're right with a drama, though. I guess you could say the same thing about a comedy. Like, you want to give it a chance, or you may want to watch a couple episodes, man, especially with a
what?
drama, because you want to get invested somewhat in the characters, I would think, before you can
Right.
adequately say if it's enjoyable or
Well,
not.
especially if it's a premise that interests you too. Like I said, I always love like these underground London, like this is the grimy underbelly. You know what I mean? Like, especially too back then. But what's killing me too is that all of them I've watched besides that first one, they don't even mention Jack the Ripper, so it's like really episodic where it's just episodes. I thought advertised as a mini series, but it's not even the same like storyline.
Okay.
There's not even
So
like
you
they're
thought it was going to
repeating.
be
Yeah.
a con yeah, some a continued search or investigating of Jack the Ripper,
Yeah, well, I
and
thought
it's
maybe
just a
that they're.
procedural?
That's what I'm getting out of it. That's how it appears
Okay.
to me. Unless I mean, there's some recurring things like they go back to the same whorehouse, but it's not always about the same type of murder. Like Jack the Ripper hasn't even really been brought up that I can remember again. I thought it
Yeah,
was
that would
kind of
suck,
like
right?
they're
That'd be the only
investigating
reason.
Jack the Ripper, and then there's these other things happening that they have to, still examine and investigate independently, but at the same time, there's also reason to believe that they're trying to get Jack the Ripper and on the trail of him too. But whatever.
BBC's.
I'll never know now.
I really don't watch anything on BBC. I did try, I think Dominic West, McNulty from The Wire, had some mini series called like The Hours, and it was supposed to be like 1950s British television. And I remember DVRing it, and I watched like maybe the first 15 minutes, but sometimes their Cockney British accents are just so thick and you can't understand what they're saying. That's why I don't know if I'd ever give Downton Abbey a chance, because I don't know if I could do the just heavy Brit accents day in and day out watching it. It's like top to bottom.
Yeah,
So that's
it is
kind of.
tough, dude, isn't it? Like that definitely doesn't help. Like I guess that's the reason they threw that American guy in there. So it's like, all right, yeah, you dirty Yanks, here you go.
You yank. So, but I guess Game of Thrones, they all have British accents, but it's not. I think they make a conscious effort to have it, audible. Is audible the right word? What's the word for you can understand what they're saying? Because obviously, not they're not only doing a British accent, but then they're doing like old time
Coherent.
medieval slang.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
know.
audible.
And they go like to lengths to, like on this show, it's all like almost everyone's like that talks is 35 to we'll say 50 male or female. And it's just like none of them have any sort of like different voice, hardly whatever. It might be slightly different pitched, but it's just like Game of Thrones, you can definitely tell the difference between, a kid like Joffrey and an older guy. It's really weird,
Off.
man. I don't know.
Any other shows that you kind of, I'm trying to think back on any shows I kind of watched a little bit and then just said no and bailed on.
Well, see, some of them, like, I only watched the first series or first season of Boardwalk Empire, and there's been three now, right? Is that what I'm thinking? And, I don't can't remember if I was moving or what was going on, but I just the second one was on, and wherever I was, I didn't have HBO, or I didn't just if I did, I didn't watch it. But it's not like I'm planning on completely bailing on it. It's always feasible I could just pick up DVDs and watch them or whatever too, so.
You know what one I had forgotten about? I watched, I think, probably the first two seasons of what was the Dennis Leary firefighter show?
Rescue Me.
Rescue Me. Because someone, I think maybe for a Christmas gift, someone got me like the first two seasons. I'm like, oh, okay, I got them. And I watched the first two seasons and I was like, I don't remember not liking it, but I just never picked up, haven't watched anything since the first two seasons. And they did, probably what, six or seven seasons for that show. So I guess I kind of bailed out on that. You gave me Heroes. I never even tried that.
Yeah, I wouldn't if I was you. Except it does have
No.
Marlowe in it for a while. I can't remember
Yeah.
when, but.
Yeah. But I think we're in a good place right now. We got so the Americans has started up. We got the second half of Walking Dead tonight, second half of season three. We talked about most of this last week. We got Game of Thrones coming back up, Mad Men
Man,
in April.
I have been watching these season one Game of Thrones, and it's awesome, dude, to watch them and then like be like, okay, I didn't even really pick up on that season one, but it had some bearings in season two, like just a couple lines here and there that they might say, you know what I mean?
And it's great to see like how different like the episodes you're watching, how much changes from then at and where we were at the end of season two. Like look how much crap. And you're right, for a show that there, there's a couple fight scenes. There was the Blackwater episode, but it's not like it's a televised Lord of the Rings where
Right.
you're constantly getting awesome action pieces every episode. It's just really just a lot of dialogue and backstabbing and scheming and just to see where things,
Right.
you're watching episodes where Ned still had his head. It's like, look how different, look
He's
how
still
crazy
got it
things have
now, and I'm
gotten.
like 7 or 8 in, and he's still got it attached. Not for long.
No.
Like, I forgot about this whole, like, a lot, like, like Tyrion getting the hill people and going to fight with Tywin and all that stuff. There's a ton that's going on. I thought too that most of the stuff with Jon Snow, I thought that most of that was season two, but I'm like, oh no, that's when he was north of the wall and with the Wildings and all that.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. We're in a good place with TV. I guess with no football, We'll at least be watching. We'll have a couple Sunday shows. The Americans is on Wednesday nights. I don't know if I like that or not. It does kind of give it something to look forward to in the middle of the week, you
Well,
know?
I just
But I
DVR it.
tip. Okay, and you wait. I think I might try watching it Wednesday nights. Like just a good break from the the droll of the week. But I ain't got much else, dude. I'm not gonna lie. My wife's got some masacholi downstairs. I'm gonna eat that. Have some garlic bread and see
I
where the
know, dude.
Sunday
I'm
takes
gonna
me, so.
fill up this glass with water and I don't know. I don't really feel like moving. How your
Well, I actually have a.
New Year's resolutions been coming?
I've been eating more vegetables. I've been brushing my teeth in the shower. I've been trying, I was doing good walking the dogs after work, but it just got so stinking cold these last couple weeks. What were some of the other ones? I can't remember what any of them were. So good. Brush my teeth in the shower.
I actually have been doing that quite a bit too.
Anyway, I can save myself 30 seconds or so.
Yep.
I have a song planned actually in advance now for whenever I have to sing us out.
All right. Now would probably be a pretty good time to do that.
Okay, I'm going to be singing Rocket Man, written and originally performed by Elton John, only for to close things out this evening, this afternoon. I'm going to be singing the William Shatner version of it.
All right,
So
do
just
it.
let me know. Oh, all right. She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour,
All right,
9 a.m.
everybody. That does it for us. This is Worst
I'm
Friends
gonna
number
be
32. Thanks for listening.
high
Follow
as a
us on
kite
Twitter at
by
Worst
then.
Friends Pod. Like us on
I miss
Facebook
the earth so
and take
much.
her sleazy.
I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man, burning out his fuse up there, alone.